You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just heard the opening of a Lucky Energy. So Ted Johnson's getting ready for his three-point stance. I say glasses are on. He's got the, you're looking very professorial today with the zippered sweater and the glasses.
I don't know how many. A sports scholar.
Yeah. A sports scholar. That's what we'll call him. Because I don't know how many professors drink Lucky Energy before they go to the lectern.
All the good ones.
Do they?
Yeah.
If I go down to Harvard, there's a lot of professors before they hit the lectern.
You know what you're not going to see at Harvard next year? International students.
Why?
Because the United States just banned them from enrolling them.
Really? Jeez. I missed
that. How about that? Just letting you know how things are going outside our rainy radio box.
Is that all schools or just Harvard?
Just Harvard.
My son might have a chance to go to a better school. Open up some slots for kids.
Laughing through the discomfort.
Ted's here. Ted's not quite ready, I've noticed. And I usually like, hey, Ted, how you doing? He's like, I'm great, buddy. So we'll just move right on. It's time for the three-point stance.
Green 19!
Ready!
19!
Ready, Chichahan!
Yeah, there you go!
What's up,
Ted?
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Oh, so now I get to be the one to welcome Ted Johnson onto the program today. How you doing, Ted?
What's up, Daniel? How we doing, boys? Good to see everybody.
There he is. The professor. Big Ted.
Nice to hear you here. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here, guys.
Ted, thank you.
We begin the three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, which is brought to you each and every day by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you lie to WEEI Afternoons about Garrett Crochet, you got to get Glassman, and here's what you do. You call all sevens. This is for you, Alex Cora, at 617-777-7777, and if not, Andy will come down and find you. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Each host will get 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance, after which we will open up for discussion on each. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
Indeed.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
So our guy SGA and the Thunder, as Ted likes to call them.
Thunder!
He's got his own little drop.
They look unbeatable.
They look great, and the East looks very beatable. Everybody in the East looks beatable. The 60-win Celtics, already gone. The 60-win Cavs, already gone. And you got this very competitive, fun series between the Pacers and the Knicks left. And I think SGA, off his MVP award, having a historic season in both scoring for himself but leading the team to victory. They pulled away from the Wolves in game one, blew them out. I think they are going to cruise to the NBA title. I think you are watching the beginning of a dynasty. I just think all this, the Knicks were lucky to beat the Celtics in some sense. I think the Pacers were lucky to beat the Knicks last night. They can play their little luck gag battle or choke on each other for as long as they want.
Oh, I see where you're going.
But guess what?
Wouldn't matter.
Then they're going to...
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics should have been in the finals, but that's a side topic. Now you are just going to be fodder for the lion that is the Thunder, and they are going to win the title. And then my dream scenario is they trade one of the 12 first-round picks they still have, or a few of them, for Giannis. So they win a title, they get Giannis, and the dynasty isn't budding in Boston. The dynasty is budding in Oklahoma.
Interesting.
Thunder!
Ew.
It is so, that's. I'm curious why you would say Giannis to the Thunder, though.
Because it seems like he wants out, and they're considering out. They have all the first-round picks. He already plays in a minor market.
And it's a system fit.
Yes.
It's all they do is drive downhill, yes. drive downhill.
Oh,
drive
I think
downhill.
It would be a great fit. And I think from an NBA perspective, if they win the title and then trade for the perennial MVP candidate who also already has a championship, that's good for business.
Who's that?
That measuring stick.
That'll give us the dynasty that we have been talking about that can't burgeon during parity because it's so difficult in the NBA.
We in Boston thought a dynasty was going to be born this year. We're a lot like Ricky Prohl. We were right, but we were wrong. A dynasty was born. Wow. But it's not the Celtics. It's Bourne and OKC
with
the Thunder.
Sam Presti, who got fleeced in that James Harden deal, has been nothing but a genius ever since. So you got to be impressed with that team. They built that from the ground up, man.
Yes.
Those aren't
free
agents.
From the ashes of departure with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant just bailing on them in the middle of the night.
Yep.
They've built two dynasties in a way, even though that one was never won anything.
This is a pretty damn good team.
But that's a dynastic trio.
It was the Paul George. You know how there's always these trades that people make that are like, big reset. Herschel Walker, obviously the most famous one. The Paul George trade really rebooted that franchise. Trade of KG and Paul Pierce rebooted this one.
And now they're going to reap the fruits, baby. The title is theirs. It's just now play the games out because it's coming.
Interesting.
All right, we'll table that for the time being. Adam Silver doesn't look at that at a big enough market. He's going
to
force.
He can't love that.
Get ready to speak country, baby.
That's right. If it's not Golden State or Chicago, I don't want to hear it. All right, let's move on. Fitzy, are you ready?
I am indeed.
All right, well, your 60 seconds do indeed begin right now.
Stiz, thank you very much. As you all heard, NFL players have been voted to be allowed to play in United States Olympic flag football in 2028. I read earlier today an article on The Ringer where they suggested the ultimate flag football team composed of NFL players, and it featured players like Kyle Hamilton, Justin Jefferson, Mike Evans, Bijan Robinson, T. Higgins, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Travis Hunter, Fred Warner, and the quarterback, Kyler Murray. Probably because of his fleet-footed nature, his ability to evade, good size arm, etc.
Who says this?
This was on The Ringer. A lot of people also think that maybe it should be Lamar Jackson, but I just want to take a few seconds here to say the only choice for quarterback of the United States Olympic flag football team is someone who has not thrown a meaningful pass in the National Football League in years. The greatest of all time, Mr. America, Captain America himself, Tom Brady needs to be at least an honorary captain, if not the quarterback of the Olympic team. Nothing would sell faster than those jerseys, and the rest of the world would bow to his greatness.
And then we'd lose in the Olympics.
That is interesting. Well, can I come out of retirement to play in it?
Of course you could.
I guess I could.
So, Ted, it's 5x5, okay? And it's 5x5. It's all passing, to the best of my knowledge. And you can blitz two.
What does that mean, 5x5? Oh, so it's five against five?
5 against 5.
That's it. They don't have 7.
It's not 6x6. It's not 7x7. It's 5x5.
Okay.
I don't think they have run stuffing middle linebackers.
No, and they also don't have.
Sorry, Ted.
You're gonna have to pull
Ted Johnson. Fred Warner.
Damn! There goes Johnson off the field again.
Do we put Fred Warner in or Johnson? Okay.
Hold on. We got a perfect matchup. T. Higgins is 1-on-1 against Ted Johnson.
All right, this is your segment. I didn't mean to.
It's quite all right. I mean, you're gonna. There's
so it's a quarterback. And
there's already
wide
been
receivers.
A lot of pushback because people think you need to get an evasive, fleet-footed quarterback because you can blitz up to two of those five guys, to which I say, okay, but who is better at picking apart the blitz, even if he hasn't thrown a meaningful pass in years, than Tom Brady?
It's a fair point. No, I do think his accuracy would be great, but typically you like an athletic quarterback, and it's that
blend. You know who it's going to be? Yeah. It's probably going to be Jaden Daniels. No, Jaden Daniels should be the quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes looks fat. You see his dad bod?
He does.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every offseason, it's good humor and Bud Light. And I don't mean jokes.
I don't
jokes.
Want to tell Paige who she should get as her next client for Awaken 180.
I'm curious. But
Ted, imagine that. Imagine that. Tom Brady in a USA Olympic 12 jersey representing this country on the greatest stage.
Is there film on these countries? We need to get somebody to look in on the Chinese.
Ernie Adams is the special assistant.
We need Ernie in there.
Come on, it would be so fun. At least pick two quarterbacks and put them on the roster.
That is.
He comes out of retirement,
he's
Andy.
The backup quarterback?
Doesn't matter. He just want to be there. Make him the
first time.
Yeah, that's
it'll be fun to watch that. I will be.
You're going to get into it. Yeah. You're going to get into
it. I'll get into it.
The NFL is hooking you, people.
I'm a big fan of flag football. I played flag football before I played real football, to be honest. So,
I coach.
If Ted Johnson likes flag football,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Flag football is coming.
It's coming then? Okay.
It's my favorite thing to coach. It's the most fun, so let's go.
Man, can you imagine his classmates in middle school looking at him across the line playing flag football? That's a mental image.
Also dominated. Saying, thank God he can only pull my flag.
Dominated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you ever tackle anybody?
No. But kids went crying, you know. They were crying at moms.
Wait, because you pulled their flag?
We were rough.
Oh, I figured.
We had a big team of good athletes. And
light contact? The kind of thing where you can block and push a little bit.
You pull that flag, but you know you can push him too. I'm sorry, you went down.
That's not his flag you pulled.
But the flag came out. Sorry, you landed on the ground.
You were a bully on the flag football field.
If you were built like him, wouldn't you be?
I would just go bully on the real football field.
Which he did when he won his three Super Bowls.
That'll be interesting, though. Mm-hmm. All right, Dan.
All right, let's move on. And, Ted, we are moving to your three-point stance. So are you ready?
I'm ready, bud.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right, so I already talked this a little bit, workshopped this with Daniel Ball. So this is interesting, guys. We are 37 days out. 37 days out since the Boston Bruins have played their last hockey game, okay? And yet, still, no coach, no head coach for the Boston Bruins. There are 8 new head coaches already that have been hired in the NHL this offseason or during the season. I heard Don Sweeney has been quoted recently as saying that the new head coach will be hired in plenty of time before the NHL draft. You know, the NHL draft is like, you know, June 27th, so not too far from now. Supposedly, reports are they have interviewed up to 15 candidates for the head coaching position already. Does that sound familiar?
Yep.
Sounds like as many offensive coordinator candidates as the Pat interviewed last year.
That and also general managers to the Red Sox.
Yep.
Okay. So, and then also, what is the kind of the theme of the Boston Bruins is that the players love playing here, right? Nobody wants to leave here. Everyone wants to stay here. Brad Marchand didn't want to leave, but yet they're having a hard time finding coaches. So this dynamic of players want to play here, but yet coaches don't want to come here. Something's not good with that organization. They are looked at differently than they may have been in the past with the power structure of Don Sweeney, Cam Neely, and that has me worried. 37. Can you imagine if the Patriots didn't have a head coach for 37 days? I'm surprised that this story is kind of as underreported as it is, but this is a big deal. The Bees got to get their act together, man.
The Patriots didn't have a head coach for 347 days.
Oh, well, wow.
Shots fired.
That's
tough.
That's not okay.
That's wow. I don't sign off on that.
It's not wrong. It's just tough.
Wow. So, Ted, let's stick with this for a minute. Do you think it is the power structure, just that? Because there's been rumors. We talked about that the other day when they announced the Don Sweeney extension. Yeah. Some people read that as, oh, they can't find a coach. They got to extend him to at least pretend there's a stable working environment.
That was only a few days ago, right?
Yeah. But the flip side, I would also say, is there any chance people looked at last season and how they handled Jim Montgomery and said, I'm not sure I want to be part of that?
Yeah.
They railroaded that guy. They ran that guy out of town. He had 2 great years. They wouldn't give him an extension. When it predictably went bad, they canned him.
Yeah, they didn't extend him. Okay, so he reluctantly goes into his walk year. The team isn't doing good. They fire him. Then he goes over to St. Louis, and you see what he did for St. Louis. So that has got to be on the minds of any of these candidates that are out there right now.
Cassidy, the same thing. They railroad him. He goes and wins.
There you go.
So you're saying, Ted, that they're basically establishing a toxic front office. Or the problems in the front office and their poor handling of management.
It's the perception of it. It's whether it is or it isn't, I'm not sure. But my guess is that the perception is that that's not a secure place to go be a head coach at. When you look at Don Sweeney and Cam, they're one and the same. I'm sorry. I think Cam has hitched his wagon to Don Sweeney. I do. Even though I think Cam at the end of the day has more power than Don, clearly, I just think Cam has no interest in letting go of Don. And so the coach is going to know that sees the pattern of that and says, why would I want to go there when I'm going to be the first to go? It's not going to be one of the players, and it's not going to be one of the front office people. It's going to be me.
Could players be involved? And what I mean by that is, if I'm a candidate looking, because there were reports that Mike Sullivan, mm-hmm. Tockett, they were involved. Those guys chose other opportunities.
Yep.
Some of us look at Swayman and go, You gave him a lot of money for a long time. Is he really a franchise goalie? If I'm a coach, I would be assessing some
looking
of that.
Looking at that, too.
Like, am I stuck with that guy?
Yeah.
Because that means I'll be out of a job in 2 years.
Look at the free agents they brought in. Paid a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Same thing. It just feels as if that, you know, they want to frame it as a reboot. Or not a reboot. Yeah, a retool.
Yep.
But it's more than that. And you can tell us till you're blue in the face that that's the case when – you know, we're not dummies. We all see it, and clearly NHL coaching candidates know that better than we do. So they're looking at all that. Just 37 days and 15 candidates interviewed, yet the Bruins, the Boston freaking Bruins,
yep,
don't have a head coach. That is, to me, is alarming and very telling at the same time.
And, you know, Fitzy, you made the joke about sounds like the offensive coordinator interviews with the Patriots, and what did they end
it
up
is.
With? No disrespect to Alex Van Pelt, the man. I actually liked the man. But you ended up with a guy who had been in the league for 15 years and not been asked to be an offensive coordinator. You didn't exactly get the hottest candidate, the rising star.
A poor guy who didn't who seemed like he did the best he could and had a decent season, but was not treated terribly well, and I don't think liked it very much around here either.
And what do we think about Breslow? I mean, it's starting to kind of like, how this season has started off, it's like.
A lot of people don't like him now. A lot of people wonder who the first baseman should have been behind Tristan Cousins.
And he wasn't the Red Sox first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th
People were turning them down at an alarming. Remember the woman? Kelly, I don't know how to say it, NG, I believe.
Clarkson.
No, NG, I believe, is her last name.
Okay.
So
I'm just Kelly Ng.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
we'll go
with that. Yeah.
She,
yeah.
Like, people that you would think, Kim Ng, sorry. I knew it was a K name. You were getting people that you would think, oh, the Boston Red Sox, that's a great franchise. The history, the
she's
ability.
Flat out turned her down, right?
Yeah, there were a lot of those. And
she's very well-respected front office.
That's when you start looking into second and third tier candidates. And that doesn't mean the next coach can't be good. He could be a young guy that hasn't gotten the opportunity, whatever. But you're not exactly, you know, fishing in your top pool.
I got an in-show poll question for you. What'll happen first? Coach of the Bruins, first baseman for the Red Sox?
It's probably the coach of the Bruins, but
probably coach of the Bruins.
My guess.
Ted's right.
Sad.
37. This proves you a little bit. No disrespect to the Bruins and Dale Arnold, who used to fight with me on their popularity.
And here comes disrespect.
I mean, Ted's right. If any of the other three teams went 37 days without a coach, it would be like
huge
top news. Like, how can they not get a coach? This is just sort of under the radar. With I'm sure the niche hockey fans are kind of freaking out or talking about it, but. If this were the Patriots or something, they go like 4 or 5 days a week, and it's like, what's going on? Who are they getting? Who are they interviewing?
They went 1 hour removed from the season before letting everyone know they didn't like that one and had to go get a new one.
That is true.
An hour.
It's an interesting situation, and it is not – because I actually think – I've made this argument to you, Ted. Superficially, you can look at the Bruins with some optimism and say – they got $29 million in cap space. They have a franchise goalie, a franchise scorer, a franchise defenseman. They have the 7th pick in the draft. They have a couple young prospects. They got all these trades. You can kind of spin it like there should be some pieces for a retool or a turnaround.
Yeah.
But hockey people apparently are not doing that. They're looking at it and like, if I get a better chance, I'm going to the better chance because you're not that attractive now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah. And you can flip that. And Dan, you can help me on this. You can flip that on the other way, too. It's like, your goalie was one of the worst goalies in the NHL. And so that contract looks like an albatross.
Yep.
They got a bunch of picks there for the NHL draft, but. Do you want that general manager making the picks? Have you seen his?
He's due.
Okay. All right.
You yourself have said that's not a principle that you can rely on in sports.
He always uses that as an argument.
If I'm trying to win an argument,
let's go. Yeah. Tenth time is the charm this year.
Exactly. He can't be that bad, can he? Can he swing and miss that many? I mean, he has, but.
I mean, Dan, what do you think about do you think it's 37 days? I mean.
It's alarming that an original six franchise that won a cup in 2011 that's been to multiple cups in the last decade has had multiple high-profile coaching candidates say, you guys, I'm going to the Rangers who are on their way down. I'm going to the Flyers who are a mess and other teams that should be below you. It's very alarming.
Just proving once again that every device under the sun is always listening to you. I never get hockey tweets, rarely ever show up on my timeline, Ted. It's usually all football and nonsense. But here's a Pierre LeBrun tweet that just pops up talking about how the coaching search is going to come to an end. and that it's going to be, what, next week maybe, and all this other stuff. Everyone's always listening. No, but it's just funny. Like
a merciful end?
Yeah. Right. I mean, do we think that that's legitimate, or do we think that maybe that's the front office trying to push some info out there, like, we got to get the Ted Johnsons and the other people off our back because we're making a mockery of this entire organization?
Yeah. It'll come to an end. As Ted said, like, the draft is coming. Like, you're going to move towards, you know, in the NFL version, it's, well, we got to get ready for the combine and we got to start our scouting and we got to, like, you need to have a coach in place, right? Or if you don't, it just proves more and more that the coach is irrelevant and it's just the Neely and Sweeney show and the coach is just sort of a bystander in their bigger picture of the organization.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's
what
good.
What coaching candidate wants to come here when you hire him 2 days before the draft and don't ask his opinion
desperate
on the drafter?
A desperate one. Either a guy who's looking for his last shot. You know, he thinks the last time he got fired, he thought it was the last time he was going to get fired. He's looking for his last shot. Or a young one who's just saying, there's only so many of those jobs in the world. I'll take it. I'll take the opportunity, cross my fingers, and hope that Swayman gets back to being a good goalie, not a bad goalie, and all the other guys, you know, kind of play to their contracts.
And one last point, just reading from a Steve Conroy article in the Boston Herald about this. And when he was asked, Sweeney was, about, well, are you waiting for any candidates that are currently coaching in the Stanley Cup playoffs? He said no. We're not.
Rafi Devers did no.
And then he points out that Dallas assistant Misha Donskoff is a highly, highly touted young up and coming coach who's the assistant to the Dallas Stars head coach. And
we don't need those up and coming.
Don't need those.
We might accidentally win if we hired somebody like that. We might turn this thing around quicker than we expected. That's going to do it for the 3-Point Stance here on WEEI Afternoons. We might revisit some of those topics a little later, especially the NBA, where there was a crazy basketball game last night.
We got to talk about that game today.
And I also like the choke job gesture. I think that plays into Lindor on second base.
He got lucky, though.
I like
it's
all
historical.
These. He did get a little bit lucky.
He got lucky, but it's still great.
It's still dinky, but I love it.
I know, but like
makes sense. I'm a
31 years later, same place.
Yes.
I mean,
love
it's just
it.
Beautiful.
You usually wait for the game
symmetry
winner. You might want to make sure it's a 3
they
next time.
They get
with Reggie in the building. Too.
You flipped a bird to karma and you still won.
Still
but,
won.
Good job,
you
Pacers.
Gotta love that.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, as is the case every Thursday, 3:30, Tom Curran talking Patriots OTAs, Drake May, and all things New England football next on WEEI.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.